Kinos Tshuva, discuss different elements of Tshuva. Very excited to have Rabbi Schreier next week, and then Rabbi Steckler to follow that. I have the responsibility of batting leadoff here and trying to get the ball rolling. Let me just begin with an observation about Tshuva that I think is especially relevant for all of us this morning. Every year, we encounter the very significant challenge of having to introspect in a very meaningful way and hopefully to act on some of those insights we're able to develop into ourselves, tshuva process. This is one of the things in life that counterintuitively, you know, most things that we do, we get better with them over time. You think about it, a person, I don't, but if a person cooks, right, one would expect, that over time one improves and one becomes more efficient. If one bakes, what I understand is an even, higher madriga of functionality than cooking. So, you develop an ability with the recipes and you have an insight into, what works, what doesn't work, who likes what, in many, many, many areas of life. Tshuva, always seemed to me, has a little bit of the opposite dynamic. And what I mean by that is the psychological hurdle becomes greater and greater over time. You know, if a person's been on this planet, let's say for 10 years, and they decide at the age of 10 that they want to do tshuva, whatever that means for them, and they're, not going to be taking any cookies from the cookie jar anymore, and the mother has finally gotten through to them that this is not, the expected level of behavior. Hopefully, a motivated 10-year-old can say, I've only been doing this for so long, I think I can make that change. A person is 20 years old, and a 20-year-old, whatever it means to them, decides that they're going to, make more time for other people, be more altruistic. Hopefully they're able to live up to those commitments. A person who's been on this earth for a multiple of that time, the self-confidence that tshuva requires, which is the ability to say, I may have been doing this for a significant amount of time, and this is really who I am, right? I'm not, a Shana Aleph student anymore looking to revolutionize my life. So this is one of those areas where, to some extent, the longer, we've been at it, in fact, the harder that it gets. And that's something which I think is quite unique. None of that, of course, is an excuse. None of that is a patur or generates an exemption, but I think it's something that we have to honestly acknowledge to ourselves as we engage in the tshuva process, that we all face different challenges, we all face different hurdles, and part of this very significant challenge that we face, almost a gateway issue when it comes to tshuva, is do we have the ability to believe sufficiently in ourselves that we can make a meaningful difference if we've been doing something a certain way, even if intellectually we recognize that there's room for redress and improvement, emotionally it can be a very significant hurdle. And so I wanted to acknowledge that honestly at the outset of the shiur, because what I'll be talking about is just that, is finding room to believe that one can extract oneself even from very long-standing patterns in either of thought or of behavior, but it requires a great leap of faith, not in the Almighty, but really in oneself. So let's begin together. We'll proceed slowly and systematically. I wanted to begin with a passage from Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, what the Rav referred to as the Tshuva of Geula. We'll see what that expression means. The Rambam writes that he thinks that there's a common and even pernicious misconception when it comes to the world of tshuva. Al tomar, the Rambam says, a person should not say, she'en tshuva ela mi'avero she'yesh behen ma'isa kigon znus, gezel u'gneva. A person should not erroneously state that tshuva is restricted to areas of action. A person who's a thief, a person who's involved in other kinds of act of sin. Ela kishem shetzarech adam lashuv me'elu kach hutzarech lechapes b'deos haroz sheyeshlo. Just as a person indeed must repent of untoward action, so too a person must think about deeper issues of character. B'deos haroz, literally, issues of belief, issues of inner orientation. V'lashuv, and to do tshuva, and the Rambam gives a list of seven, though he acknowledges this isn't comprehensive, this is really representative. V'lashuv min hakas, a person who is an angry person. Now again, you might behaviorally see that a person is angry because they yell a lot, or even worse. But sometimes a person doesn't necessarily manifest that outwardly, but they're consumed by anger. Their inner world is often a very dark place where they're filled with a kind of a rage. The Rambam says a person has to do tshuva of that. Umin ha'eva, from hostility. You know, there's people who walk into a room and hopefully look for a way of finding a common denominator with others. There are people who walk into a room and try to figure out who their enemy is and, you know, how they can, one-up them. So that's a hostile approach to the world. Min ha'eva, min ha'kina, from envy, a person who's filled with a sense of unhealthy competitiveness with others. They're not running their own race, they're not staying in their own lane, but they're always looking over their shoulder to the left, to the right, in all areas. Min ha'hitl, frivolity, people who aren't serious, people who, you know, have a cavalier attitude towards life. Umei redifas hamamon, materialism, v'hakavod, egoism. Umei redifas hamachalos, and hedonism. V'chayotze bahen. And if it wasn't enough, the Rambam says, no, there are other things as well that are important to develop. I mean, hakol tzarech lachzor b'tshuva. All of these things require tshuva. And then the Rambam says, not only is this required, but I'll be honest with you, the Rambam says, ve'elu havonos kashin me'osan sheyesh b'hen ma'isa. And this form of tshuva, which the Rambam says is required the very same way behavioral redress is required, kishem and kach, that language in the Rambam always means it's the same mechayiv, it's the same fundamental impetus, the Rambam says, but it's much harder. And it's much harder, shebizman she'adam nishka be'elu, because when a person, the Rambam uses such a fascinating expression, when a person is nishka, which literally means shakua, means to be immersed in something. In this case, to be ensnared by something. When a person, their personality has been, let's say, invaded by anger and hostility, it's just very, very, very difficult to address that. Even if behaviorally a person could say, you know, I should probably stop yelling at my spouse 42 times a day, right? Let me try to cut it down to, you know, 21 or hopefully a little bit better than that, right? But that inner rage that a person is experiencing, the Rambam says, is just much, much, much more difficult to address. And so as we said at the outset, especially if a person, I'm just adding to the Rambam, right, especially if a person has been conducting themselves in such a fashion for many, many decades, it's very, very hard for a person even to believe themselves that they can live up to the Rambam's mandate. V'chein hu omer, as the Pasuk says, Yazov Rasha Darko, V'ish Aven Mach Shivosav. You know, sometimes, like the Gemara, the Rambam only gives you the first two words here, but you have to see what he's referring to. V'ish Aven Mach Shivosav means to reform what's going on inside. Now, I didn't mean to begin with this source to depress anybody, but just to give us a sense that the challenge is a very, very, very significant one. The Rambam is very clear that this is mandatory, and yet we all know for ourselves, I think the citation from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter certainly captures a little bit of the trepidation that we would enter this year with after seeing this Rambam. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who said it's easier to go through half of Shas than it is to break a certain Midah. It's really the case. It's really the case in life. And so you could imagine that this list of seven, with the knowledge, v'chayotze bahen, that there are even more, requires much of us. Okay, so hopefully we'll be able to, over the course of the next, of the duration of the hour, to be able to get a little bit of perspective about how the Torah and Chazal are trying to help us along in this admittedly a very significant challenge. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Shofar that in his opinion, and it was a major chiddush, it's become practically speaking accepted in all of the kehilos of Klal Yisrael, that in his opinion, the only valid shofar that can be used in Rosh Hashanah is a shofar shel ayil. It has to come from a ram. The evidence on this score from the Gemara in Masech de Rosh Hashanah, I have to be honest, is scant. There's certainly some evidence for the Rambam's position, but it would appear that the Rambam, as we'll see in just a moment inside, really took quite an extreme reading of the various Mishnayos and Gemaras in Masech de Rosh Hashanah, but let's allow the Rambam to speak for himself. You have the sources. This is number 2. Mitzvos Aseh Shel Torah. So Torah level commandment, lishmoa, we'll come back to that a little bit later, to hear truas ha-shofar b'Rosh Hashanah, to hear the sound of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, in particular the trua. The trua is the point of emphasis, not the tzkia. More on that in just a minute. Shenemar, Pasuk says, in Parshas Pinchas, this is the maftir, of course, that we read both days Rosh Hashanah, yom trua yelachem, it's a day that's defined by the trua, interestingly, as opposed to the tzkia. V'shofar shetokin bo, bein b'Rosh Hashanah, bein b'Yovel. This past year has been a Shemitah year. We don't have the Yovel anymore, but the Yovel was marked every 50 years. And on Yom Kippur, as we'll see, of the Yovel year, the shofar was sounded. So the Rambam is saying, every single year on Rosh Hashanah, and on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, hu keren ha-kivasim ha-kafuf, which means literally a horn of a keves. A keves is the same species as a ram. Within the first year of life, we use the term keves. Then from month 12, number 12 to month 13, it's called a palgas. And after month 13, it's referred to as an ayil. So keren ha-kvasim ha-kafuf, meaning the horn of a ram, has to be bent. V'chol ha-shofaros psulin chutz mi keren ha-keves. And the Rambam comes back and tells us that this is an absolute requirement. You must use a shofar of a ram. It's li'ikuva. Everything else is unacceptable, and the Ravid, as is his wont, was not going to allow the Rambam to skate on this one. And the Ravid immediately comments here. This is within that source, the bolded section. The Aleph is Omar Avram, the Ravid of Avram ben David. Hifriz al Midosav, that the Rambam exaggerated here. That the Rambam took an idea, which is a laudatory thing. It's better to use a shofar shel ayil. In the Tur, in Shulchan Aruch, you'll see it's referred to as a mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's a lichatchila, it's ideal. It harkens back to Akedas Yitzchak, as we'll discuss, but it's not fundamentally required. You wouldn't say that somebody wasn't yotze the mitzvah, that somebody didn't fulfill their obligation of Shmias HaShofar and Rosh Hashanah, if they happened to use a shofar from, say, a mountain goat or whatever it was. Hifriz al midosa, vela mitzvah, bekufin. V'imtaka b'shel Yael, which Rashi at least understands to be some kind of a mountain goat, Yatza, one has fulfilled one's obligation. So the Ravid says that the Rambam went way too far here, but hopefully we'll try to understand a little bit why the Rambam was so insistent on his position. So the Rambam's position, as we noted, is not unique to Rosh Hashanah, but is actually true. So he said, we don't have this anymore, but conceptually, we'll see, it's very important. Every 50 years, when we sound the shofar in the context of the Yovel, we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. So there's a Mishnah, which appears in Masech de Rosh Hashanah, which the Rambam seems to be paskening. This is what you have in the third source. Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah Litzkia Ulebrachos. So that there's a basic equation that exists. We'll explain where it comes from in just a moment, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, for purposes of tkia, let's say the Rambam understood that for the shofar as well, and for the brachos. The brachos here is a reference to the way that we daven on Rosh Hashanah. In Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we know it's the longest davening of the year. We have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. This is the idea of themes of monarchy, themes of divine remembrance, and shofaros. Remember, we have 10 psukim of each of them. from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, from the Ksuvim. In fact, according to the Bala Ma'ar, we do it in Musaf. According to the Bala Ma'ar, every Amida of Rosh Hashanah should be with Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. So, B'mheir of Yamenu, we should see Bias Goel Tzedek, and we have the Yovel year. So, by Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, we'll also have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. That's what we mean when we say the Brachos, that it's one and the same. These themes have to be addressed. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tzayin tells us that this is a very important part of our practice in Rosh Hashanah. Imru lefanai malchios kidei shetam lichuni aleichem. It's a day of coronation. Zichronos kidei shetala zichronechem lefanai letova. That God should remember us all and our families and everybody that we love and care about in a positive way. Ubameh b'shofar. That the shofar elevates the malchios and the zichronos. So that's what we mean. Shava yovel le Rosh Hashanah letzkiya ulebrachos. And you see what the Rambam understood this to mean is that the shofar itself has to be the same. It's not just whether you make a tzkiya or a trua or a shvarim. All of that for sure has to be the same. But the Rambam understood that the shofar has to be the same as well. This was a matter of great debate amongst the Tanoim and the Amoraim. But the Rambam came down, as you saw, we learned together. He paskins shava yovel le Rosh Hashanah letzkiya ulebrachos means that we use the very same shofar. Now, why is that important for us? It's going to be very important for us because maybe that's going to be the key to understanding why the Rambam was so insistent on shofar shel ayil, on shofar of the ram. There's something about Yovel, there's something about what happens twice a century, every 50 years, there's something about the theme and the essence of Yovel that we're meant to bring with us every year into Rosh Hashanah. Now, we've never experienced the Yovel, so that makes it a little bit challenging for us, but there's good news, as the Gemara Menachos explains, Zos HaTorah, Lechatas, La'asham, L'mincha, when you don't have certain things, the way to accomplish it is by learning about it. So if we learn a little bit about the Yovel, if we return to that subject, hopefully we can extract what we need to know about Yovel, plug that back into Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll really be on our way. So what was the basis of what we call this Gezeirah Shavah, of this comparison between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah? Where did this come from? So it happens to be that the word Trua appears three times in the Torah. The word Trua appears twice in the context of Rosh Hashanah and once in the context of Yovel. Now, when I say three times, I mean specifically as it relates to, as we'll see, the shofar. There's another section in Sefer Bamidbar in Parshas Baloscha where Trua is referenced by the Chatzotzros, but that's a different theme. We'll have to leave that to the side for today. Od Chazon LaMoed, maybe we'll be able to come back to the meaning of Chatzotzros at a later point in time. So if you look here, this is the passage that was cited by the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, in the Mishnah Torah that we saw. This is from Parshas Pinchas. You have it here in the fourth source. V'chodesh ha'shvi b'echad l'chodesh mikra kodesh yelachem kom laches avoda lo sasu. We're not allowed to do any avoda. We're not allowed to do any creative labor except that which is involved in creating food. Yom teruah yelachem. It is a day of teruah. And again, with the emphasis not on the tzkiah, which comes before and after, what we call pshuta lefaneu lachara, but an emphasis on the teruah. That's the heart, as the Rambam said, lishmoa truas ha-shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. So that's one usage. Earlier in the Torah, not in Sefer Bamidbar, but in Sefer Vayikra, we have in Parshas Emor a reference to a truah. This is where the holiday that we call Rosh Hashanah, a term that never actually appears in the Chumash, is discussed. You have it here in the fifth source. Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe l'mor, daber el b'nei Yisrael l'mor b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'echad l'chodesh, the seventh month, which is Tishrei, on Rosh Chodesh of Tishrei, which happens to be the day that we call Rosh Hashanah, Yelachem Shabbason, Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. Not Yom Trua, but a Zichron Trua, a remembrance of a Trua. You probably remember maybe the famous Drasha of the Bavli, that Yom Trua refers to Rosh Hashanah, where we actually hear the shofar, because it falls out on a weekday. And Zichron Trua, when we only remember the Trua, that's a Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. Okay, that the Bavli, interestingly, presents that as only a Din D'Rabbanan, that we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. It's what we call Gzeira D'Rabba. We're afraid people are going to start carrying shofaros around in a world where there weren't a Reuven in a common way, the Yerushalmi actually suggests that could be a din de oraisa. The Yerushalmi says the fact that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos can even be a din de oraisa, not for now, but if you have Rabbi Lam's Book of Drushas, Rabbi Lam gave a very, very beautiful sermon on the inconsistency of Shabbos with the shofar. So again, so we're up to two. We have Yom Teruah, we have Zichron Teruah, and as promised, they said the third one appears in the context of Yovel. So let's document that. Nobody should take my word for it. You'll see that it comes straight for the Chumash itself, and then hopefully we'll be able to understand something, I think, of significance. So you have here in the sixth source from Parshas Behar, when the Torah is telling us about Shemitah, again, which we did experience this year, and Yovel, which we have not experienced in many, many centuries and millennia, V'safarta l'cha sheva shabso shanim, that we should count seven cycles of seven, sheva shanim sheva pamim, v'ayu l'cha yimei sheva shabso shanim, teisha v'arabim shanan. By the powers of higher mathematics, we know seven cycles of 7 years comes out to 49 years. Good. V'havarta, and at that point, shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, be'esor l'chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim, taviru shofar b'chol artzechem. And at that point, on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, so we're meant to sound the shofar of Teruah. Now, what bothered the Gemara, and what bothered the Gemara very significantly, was the extra words in this pasuk. We know when Yom Kippur is. The Torah tells us in Parshas Achrimos when Yom Kippur is. The Torah tells us in Parshas Emor when Yom Kippur is. You know, Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the 7th month. So why now in Parshas Behar does the Torah have to tell us Be'esor l'chodesh ha-shvi on the 10th day of the 7th month, B'yom HaKippurim? Is that not redundant? So Chazal, no, maybe it's not. Maybe we're telling us that all of the truos of the 7th month have to be the same. Melamed shekol truos shel chodesh ha-shvi'i b'shaveh. That's the basis of the Mishnah that we saw of Shavah Yovel l'Rosh Hashanah L'tzkiyah u'lebrachos, that it's not really supposed to be teaching us what the date of Yom Kippur is, but it's an extra few words, not really extra at all, because it's meant to tell us that when you're in the 7th month, you always have to use the same shofar, and you always make the same sounds. Which means to say that even though the Torah never once uses the term Rosh Hashanah, even the Torah never once says that on Rosh Hashanah we use a shofar, we can actually export from Yovel to Rosh Hashanah based on these extra words, that the shofar trua that we use on the 10th day of the 7th month during the Yovel year is the very same shofar that we use on the first day of the 7th month every single year. So this is the genesis of what we saw as the Rambam's Psak Halacha based on the Mishnah, that shofar shel Yovel v'shel Rosh Hashanah are exactly the same. Okay. Now, this, of course, as I indicated before, put some pressure on us, in a good way, to understand what the meaning of blowing the shofar during the Yovel year is. Okay, so let me open it up. Why do we blow the shofar during the Yovel year? What's the significance of blowing the shofar on the 10th day? It happens to be Yom Kippur. Of the Yovel year. What happens? Lana? Ah, okay, very good. So one of the elements which happens is that you have Avadim. This is a society where there could be Jewish, I like to use the term indentured servants. It's not really slavery the way that we would think about slavery. The Gemara tells us that if you have an Eved Ivri, it's like having a master because you have to treat them so well. So you'll permit me to use the term indentured servitude, but there are Avadim who exist in society, and even people who could have been Avadim. Anybody remember what's like the maximum amount of time under normal circumstances a person can be an Eved? It's a normal indentured servitude period. 6 years, right? So normally they would go out in the 7th year, but there's a protocol in place that if a person says, Ahavti es Adoni, es Ishti, es Banai, lo etzei chavshi, a person says, I'm very comfortable with this arrangement, it's a benevolent institution for me. Okay, so the Torah provides a framework for that. Not something the Torah is particularly excited about. The Torah likes for people to be responsible for themselves and be independent, but the Torah acknowledges that life isn't always so simple, life is complicated. People might wish to be in Eved for longer. So the Torah tells us that they go through a process called Ritsua, which is piercing of the ear, and Va'avado Le'olam. And then it sounds like from the Chumash that they could be really indentured servants in perpetuity. But we understand the halacha that Le'olam actually doesn't mean forever, for a very long time, right? It could be for an additional, let's say, 43 years approximately, because they could be in Eved all the way up until the Yovel year. Now, in the Yovel year, as Alana correctly indicates, so then everybody's going to go free. Now, again, that could be 2 months into somebody's period of indentured servitude or half a century, but the Yovel is a great equalizer in that way. Okay, so what else happens during the Yovel year? What else do we know? Just a little louder, sorry. Right, okay, so you have the lands, right, something called the Estei Achuza, when a person inherited a certain land that's within the family, and then it gets transacted. Again, in halacha, this is not considered a thing that we want people to do. Generally, people are strongly discouraged from selling their homestead, but okay, person needs liquidity, so they would part with it. So the halacha determines, again, based on the psukim in Parshas Bahar, that Estei Achuza, in many, 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 many cases, actually goes back to the original owner every 50 years. So again, we're talking about a situation. It could be with the Eved, it could be with the Estei Achuza, with the land, where things were a particular way for a very, 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 very long time, for almost half a century. And then what happens is you blow the shofar on the 10th day of the 7th month of the Yovel year, and there's a revolution in society. Lands that were under a particular control, they go back to the original owners. People have a hard time remembering. Nobody, it's not even within, most people can't even remember when it was under that person's ownership. And Eved returns back to his family. Yishal mishpachto tashu. So we see that the significance of shofar when it comes to Yovel, it is far from trivial. What the shofar tells us is that something that has been at a certain status quo, something that people simply accept is reality as such. This field belongs to X. This Eved belongs to Y. There's a mahapecha. The Yovel turns all of that over on its head. And all of that is triggered by the sounding of the shofar. It's a remarkable thing. And somehow, we're meant to take the shofar truah. Again, the Torah never says, not once, shofar in the context of Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that we even use a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Only from the Yovel. And we're supposed to make that part of our annual lives. Now that is all the more remarkable, given the fact that the Rambam paskins, as we saw, alluded to it before, but now we'll put a finer point on the issue, that really the nature of mitzvah of shofar and Rosh Hashanah and Yovel is not exactly the same. Anybody remember before what we said? How does the Rambam understand the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What's the actual mitzvah, according to the Rambam? To hear it, exactly. The Shmoa Truas HaShofar B'Rosh Hashanah. Fascinating, because there's no verb that's used in the Torah. The Torah just says, Yom Trua Yelachem. Our Nusach HaBracha, the way that you remember hearing, right? The rabbi's going to get up and he's going to say, don't answer Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, and don't talk. And right? So right, we're going to say, at least Shmoa Kol Shofar. But you believe there's actually 6 shitos in the Rishonim how we should make that bracha? We accept the Nusach HaBracha, not Lishmoa B'Kol Shofar, right? Lishmoa, should we say Lishmoa Kol Shofar? It's interesting, Rabbeinu Tam had a different perspective. Rabbeinu Tam thought that the Nusach HaBracha was actually Litko Es HaShofar, or maybe Altki HaShofar. We have different texts from Rabbeinu Tam. The Rav claimed, most that didn't make this claim, the Rav thought that in fact even Rabbeinu Tam really secretly, very secretly, agreed with the Rambam that the mitzvah was to hear the shofar, but the Maisa HaMitzvah was Tkiyah, and he said for the Rabbeinu Tam, the Maisa Mitzvah is what's captured in the Nusach HaBracha. Well, that's a little bit of a novel idea, or a lot of a novel idea. But the Rambam maintained that to hear the shofar was the mitzvah by Rosh Hashanah, that we're supposed to be contemplative, we're supposed to hear it, we're supposed to be moved by it. It's probably of a piece with what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, that probably thinking about a lot these days, the Rambam says, you know, the truth is that, of course, we have to blow the shofar because it's a mitzvah saseh shel Torah. Hashem said we have to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But it's the only time in the Yad HaChazakah where the Rambam uses language like this. So the Rambam says, "Afal pi shetkiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasavi remez yesh bo." There is a little bit of an illusion. There's a little bit of symbolic significance. And what is that? Kilomar ur yishenim yishinaschem v'nirdamim hakitzu mitirdamaschem, that we're supposed to hear it and be alerted and wake up to what is going on around us, the Yemei Hadin. So you have it here in the seventh source, just to, again, everybody should be able to see it inside. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, Lishmoa Truas HaShofar B'Rosh Hashanah, that we're supposed to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And if you take a look on the back, just to see that the Rambam was very consistent about this. The Rambam, in fact, tells us earlier on in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he enumerates all the 613 Torah-level commandments, so the Rambam writes, this is mitzvah number 170, Hushat Sivanu Lishmoa Kol Shofar B'Yom Rishon B'Tishrei. So the Rambam, throughout his life, was very consistent, very convinced at this point, that the nature of the mitzvah of Shofar on Rosh Hashanah was to hear it. However, when it comes to Shofar during the Yovel year, the Rambam tells us very clearly, and there are many, many, many practical distinctions that we'll have, which we won't get into for now, but the Minchas Chinuch, for those the Minchas Chinuch shir, has many elaborations of the point, that when it comes to shofar during the Yovel year, it's actually not the mitzvah to hear it. It's actually the mitzvah is to blow the shofar, and don't take my word for that either. If you take a look in the Rambam, this is mitzvah 137, so 33 mitzvahs earlier, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes, "Hishetivanu litkoa b'shofar be'asari mitishrei mishanazo likro dror la'avadim." Alana, as you said, a jubilee for the avadim. Velatzes kol eved ivri lecheros biyom hasiri mitishrei, etc. So the Rambam says, you know, the nature of the mitzvah is really different. It's not a trivial difference. Ve'afal pichein, and despite the fundamental difference in the nature of the mitzvah of shofar on Yovel, which is to blow the shofar, and shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is to hear the shofar, despite that very significant difference, the Rambam still feels that the Gzeirah Shavah maintains, and that the way that we know that we use the shofar altogether, albeit for the purposes of Shmi on Rosh Hashanah, is that it is taken from the world of Yovel. And that, I think, is a very fascinating point. It would have been easy for the Rambam to break the equation. Once you believe that it's a fundamentally different mitzvah, once you believe that one is tekiah and one is shmia, there's very little that's holding you back from saying, yeah, all right, so I could accept using a different shofar in Yovel and a different shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's really a different mitzvah. It's just a sort of masquerading as the same. But the Rambam was trying to have it both ways. He was trying to have his shofar and to eat it too. Namely, that it's really a different mitzvah, but you have to use the shofar that we learn from Yovel on Rosh Hashanah, and the big question, of course, is why. So, the Ramban writes in an essay in Parshas Behar that he has a bone to pick with Rashi. Rashi interprets the expression which appears three times. Consecutive psukim, Yovel hi, in Parshas Behar, Rashi says that is a reference to the name of the year. You'll see it cited by the Ramban you have in the 10th source. Yovel hi, shanazo nivdeles mishar hashanim, b'nekiva shem levada, it has its own unique name, umash shema, Yovel shema, we call this year the year of the Yovel, in English the Jubilee, al shem tkiya shofar lashan Rashi. V'chein das ha-mefarshim, says Rashi wasn't alone. But the Ramban says, I am unconvinced. Ve'eno mechuvar li. It is not clear to me that Rashi is correct. Ulefi da'ati, but according to me, says Ramban, lo kiro ha'kasuv yovel al-hatkia, that the word yovel, the essence of yovel, is not necessarily the sound, but rather rak al-hadror, but the liberation. Jubilee. Ki lo hiskira Hashem hazeh b'kasav harishon she'amar ve'avar to shofar truo. When the Torah first speaks of the mitzvah of blowing the shofar during the Yovel year, it never says Yovel. If Rashi were correct, it should have said Yovel the first time that we mentioned the shofar. Although Amar ukrasim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveh, shiyu kulam b'nei chorin, that everybody should go free, even those who weren't free before. Ladur b'chol makom sheyirtzu, people should be able to take up residence where they wish. V'amar yovel hi sheba yuval choli shal achuzaso. People will return to their lands, and the lands will return to the people, and people will return back to their families even after almost half a century away. Yovilu raglov merachok lagur, and it's only the Ramban could have. He has psukim Yeshayahu to back him up. Okay, and the Ramban says that's really the heart of what the Yovel is all about. So skipping down to the end of the Ramban, the bolded section of Altia Kodesh, the sanctity of the Yovel year is Tashuvu Yishal Achuzaso. Liyosa l'chulcham yovel kishma. So each person will return home. Things that were, as we said before, almost like they were written in stone for 50 years, all of these things can change, all of these things will change. Idea, it seems to me, is that yovel, which is the source, the only source that we know to use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah is taken from Yovel. L'shitas HaRamban, according to the Ramban, what the Yovel represents, and in particular the use of shofar during the Yovel, is the ability to change things that nobody thought could possibly ever change. Land that had a certain reality, people that were ensnared, quite literally, in a sense of avdus, all of these things and all of these people can be emancipated, they can be extracted. When that shofar is sounded on the 10th day of the 7th month of the Yovel year, everybody is given an opportunity to break free of bonds that have held them or their lands for longer than most people can remember. By extracting and exporting the shofar from Yovel to Rosh Hashanah, the message that we're giving to ourselves, albeit through Shmiah, is exactly this point. Things, as we started with, even deep traits of character, hakaas, v'ha'eva, v'ha'hitl, redifas hamamon, hakavod, v'ha'machalos, whatever vice may have plagued us in years, decades, even for generations past, none of those things absolutely have to be that way. Shave Yovel Rosh Hashanah L'tkiya U'Lebrachos. The Yovel gives us the paradigm to be able to change that which was accepted, the status quo, that which was understood to be unmovable and unchangeable. In that respect, I think the Rambam's absolute insistence, contrarived almost everybody else, that one must use the shofar shel ayil, comes into stark relief. Undoubtedly, the zechus of Akedas Yitzchak is important, but it was important to everybody. It was no less important to the Ravid and to the Rush and to the Bali Hatosvos, who all disagreed with the Rambam. But what was the Rambam after in insisting, absolutely insisting, on shofar shel ayil? If we remember the scene from the Akedah, I think it's a point that's often overlooked. After Avram is told to stay his hand, Al tishlach yadchel anar ve'al taslo me'uma, ki ata yadati ki yirei elukimata ve'lo chasachtas binchas yechidecha, when Avram has passed the Nisayon, Avram is only Avram, could be, is not done. Avram always has to go further. Everybody else would have said, thank you very much. I appreciate the title yirei elukim. You know, we'll see you on the other side. Vayisa Avraham esenav, Vayar v'hine ayil. So Avram looked up and he saw that there was an ayil. Achar, we'll get back to that word in a second. Ne'echaz basvach bekarnav. So how was the ayil stuck? The ayil wasn't stuck by its foot. Could have been. The ayil wasn't stuck by its tail. It could have been. But as the Medrash says, Ratzo Vashov, the ayil was trying to get out, as an animal does. If you've ever seen a trapped animal, the animal is trying to extract itself, but where is it stuck from? Where is the ayil from his horn? So the ayil wasn't given a choice. I accept that this is a counterfactual, but just come along with me for a second. So imagine that you could have gone to that ayil and said, okay, there are two possible endings to this scenario. One of them is you remain stuck here, and you'll end up as a karbanola, and you might have to explain what that is, but after a brief explanation, the ayil will, I think, understand. What would the other possibility here? What would the other way? Apparently, you can't really get out of this svach. You can't get out of this, right, entrapment. What would the other possibility be? What would you do? Cut off the horn, right? If you would take the keren of the ayil, then what would have happened to the ayil? He would have run free, right? He would have run free. I submit to you, not having had this conversation, but I submit to you the ayil would have made that choice if given the option. He wasn't. Okay. But we are. When we take the keren shel ayil, when the Rambam insists on taking the keren shel ayil, it's not only the general association with Akedas Yitzchak, but we're reflecting the same idea as Yovel. That something which is stuck, you've been trying to extract yourself for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, and you haven't been able to extract yourself, but you take the keren shel ayil, and all of a sudden, there's extraction, there's liberation. Shava Yovel, the Rosh Hashanah, the Tzkiyo, the Brachos. I wasn't the first person to make this observation. I always thought this was latent or implicit in the Yerushalmi and Masech Tainis. You see it here in the 11th source. Vayisah Avraham Esenav. When Avram lifted up his eyes, Vayar v'hinei ayil achar. What is that word, achar? Mahu achar. Am Rabbi Yehuda, b'Rabbi Simon, achar kol hadoros. All the generations, God says, are in front of me. We call Yeshayahu Navi refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by such an unusual expression. Korei hadoros. We reference it in the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Korei hadoros mirosh. Hashem sees all the generations in front of him. Asidin banecha. Who's really stuck? It's not the ayil that's nechaz, but who's stuck? Asidin banecha le'oches. Your children are stuck. Klal Yisrael is stuck. Klal Yisrael is ensnared. Be'avonos, in sin, ulhistabech, in the svach of tzaros, and external oppression, v'sofan, but in the end, don't worry, because unlike the actual ram, which was offered as a karbanola, sofan li goel bekarnav shel ayil hazeh, but they will be redeemed with the horn of a ram. Because what that keren shel ayil represents, bein b'yovel, bein b'rosh Hashanah, is the capacity to take that which was stuck, not for lack of effort. The ayil was ratzo vashov, trying to get itself out. To be able to extract oneself from a reality that persists, not only for a year, 5 years, 10 years, but even if it had been that way for 50 years. Even if we felt, to return to the Rambam that we started with, that we've been nishka be'elu ha'avonos, whether it's kas, eva, hitel, redifas hakavod, mamon, ma'achalos. And we're trying, lashuv me'elu, as the Rambam tells us, is mandated. And it's very difficult. What the Torah gave us, what Chazal explained to us, is that by using the keren shel ayil, which every 50 years, we don't have it anymore, but we will one day, by appealing to the principles of Yovel, that somebody who's been stuck in a certain status for 50 years, a land that's been stuck for 50, all that can change. We're meant to make that part of our lives every year. And the first thing that we have to do is to take keren shel ayil, as the Rambam says, only the keren shel ayil can bear this message, to listen carefully to it, and to remind ourselves that nothing that is must be that way. Everything is open for evaluation. Everything is open for rediscovery. everything is open for a new start. It's true of society every 50 years, va'avado le'olam, but it's true of us every year. No matter what patterns we've fallen into, no matter what challenges have ensnared us, asidin vanecha le'aches, the message of the shofar shel'ayo calls out to us with a capacity for redemption, for extraction, and for liberation. Let us listen to the sound of the shofar very well. Thank you very much.